Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
And with the latest on the arguments going on at that courtroom at 40 Foley Street in New York City, we have ABC's Aaron Katursky. Now, what are they arguing about?
Well, it's not real argument. It's more now the defense attorneys for Chris Collins talking about all the swell things that he's done in his life, including making the rifles for a war reenactment for a Boy Scout troop that. Necessitate a lesser sentence than what prosecutors are seeking. But prosecutors said not only did the former congressman conspire to commit securities fraud and then lie to the FBI about it, they said he really made it worse through what they called a courtship of public trust by running for re-election and calling the charges against him meritless. We know eventually Collins pleaded guilty, but in the act of running for re-election, prosecutors said it showed that he had a distaste for the truth and was deserving of the sentence that they suggested, something on the high end of the sentencing guidelines that call for up to 57 months in prison, so nearly 5 years.
As might be expected, I understand Collins's lawyers have said that would be excessively punitive given the other 69 years of Chris Collins' life.
And they've really talked about the whole arc of his public service, of his charitable gifts. They said that what he did amounted to a crime of emotion. It's not like he tipped off his son because the Collins family needed the money. They have plenty of money, apparently, and so this was more a father trying to protect his son. But prosecutors seemed ready for that argument and tried to almost pre-butt it because they said this was no crime of passion. This was a calculated choice. And the judge even seemed a bit skeptical. You know, even if it was impetuous to tell his son about the inside information when the multiple sclerosis drug had failed its clinical trial, he could have walked that back and not had Cameron Collins take the next step in selling stock, you know, saving more than $700,000 in losses.
Or he could have said something like, I think this was brought up in court, hey, look, you can't act on what I'm about to tell you, but don't worry, I'll take care of you.
Something, right? Something like that would have been a little more, a little less criminal than actually getting his son to sell his stock. And even when the defense tried to argue that, you know, he didn't really think it through, that it was just kind of, you know, he told a lie, but it was like a lie off the top of his head. Prosecutors said, well, no, because Chris, Cameron, and others told kind of the same lie, so it seemed as if they had rehearsed this a little bit. And even the judge said, "Well, a lie is still a lie."
Can you give us more insight into what the next step in this is going to be? Because this was supposed to be a sentencing at 2:30, didn't get underway until about 2:54. And was this expected, this length of time?
We knew that the judge had questions because the defense had objected to some of the pre-sentence report that the judges used to calculate their sentence. So the judge wanted to go through their objections one by one. The judge himself, Judge Roderick, can be a bit halting in his speech. So things tend to applaud a bit, but the prosecutors went through their arguments. The defense went through, or is going through, why former Congressman Collins deserves a much more lenient sentence, And really, the judge is weighing a fairly wide gulf. I mean, there is quite a gap between sentence him at the high end and give him no time. And while that's not necessarily uncommon, you know, here the sides just could not be farther apart in their interpretation of what Collins actually did.
Do you have any sense, based on the body language or what the judge has been saying, as to which side is gaining traction in his sentencing brain?
No, and it's hard to say, because I think, you know, on one hand, the judge was sympathetic to the prosecutor's idea that by running for Congress and asking the people of Western New York to place their trust in him, you know, Chris Collins was kind of perpetuating the crime in a sense. On the other hand, he did seem sympathetic to some of the notion that what the congressman did, could be understood in some cases to be a dad looking out for his son. You know, but again, it this is all little nuances to get the judge to even consider different points of leniency. You know, my sense would be the judge has effectively made up his mind as he entered that courtroom and is just wanting to get everything out in the open before he hands down the sentence.
So this is basically a pro forma situation.
Well, I don't know if it's pro forma. I mean, it is required, right? And judges don't want to do anything so that the defendant can later say, hey, you know, you kind of trampled on my rights to be heard. But it is taking, you know, a little bit of time to get through it all. And who's to say, you know, I think it was noteworthy when prosecutors said that Collins made a deliberate decision to double down on his crime after he had committed the insider trading fraud to then lie to the FBI, to then ask his constituents to reelect him. And when the defense said, look, that was kind of, he didn't really have a choice, because if he had declined to run, his name would still be on the ballot. He couldn't get another Republican to run. The judge seemed sympathetic to that, but on the other hand said, well, that was still a political calculation, not one of a defendant taking responsibility for one's actions.
To what extent is the judge bound by sentencing guidelines?
Well, they're a starting point, but no longer are federal judges bound by sentencing guidelines the way they once were. So, you know, in some cases, there, you know, would be a back in the day, this would almost be a no-brainer. But here, judges do have some discretion. Now, they don't generally vary widely from the guidelines. So you'd think somewhere between home confinement and, you know, 57 months in prison is where the sentence will fall. Chris Collins has the chance and is speaking in court. He's trying to sway the judge as much as possible. He's called himself an emotional person. And that's been the whole crux of the defense argument, that he acted out of emotion, that the emotions got the better of him, and he appeared to even sob a bit in court to emphasize that point to the judge.
And I know, do you need to get back in there to catch what Chris Collins is saying?
Well, we that would be all right.
Okay, I don't want to hold you up. If you're better served listening to what Chris Collins is saying, by all means, take off and we'll catch you later.
Well, I think, look, he knows that he has, in his words, tarnished his reputation. So he is just kind of awaiting the inevitable that's coming down today.
And I'm sure we will talk to you after the sentencing is done. Chris Collins is speaking now. And will he be the final speaker?
One would think, unless there are other points that the judge feels he needs to hear from the attorneys, but generally it's the defendant gets effectively the last word. There are no victim impact statements in this particular case, so the judge will undoubtedly move from whatever Collins says to handing down the sentence.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.